The amazing and great theologian, Kenny Chesney, said this. He said, "Sometimes I wonder, how did we get here? Seems like all we ever hear is noise. Yeah, we scream. Yeah, we shout till we don't have a voice. In the streets and in the crowds, it ain't nothing but noise. Drowning out all the dreams of this Tennessee boy, just trying to be heard in all this noise." I love that last line. Just trying to be heard in all this noise. I wonder if God ever looks at us and sings that line of that Kenny Chesney song. I'm just trying to be heard in all your noise. I wonder if God feels that way about us. You know, it's crazy how much noise is always present in our life. Always present. Oftentimes, from the moment we get up until the moment we go to bed, we are filled with noise. Radios and cell phones and social media and internet and email and text messages and television and FaceTime and Skype and our own voices that never stop talking. On and on and on are the noises in our life, and not always just audible noises. We fill our life with so much information and oftentimes pollution that we drown out everything else because of all the noise. I read a statistic that said the average American today spends 11 hours of their day ingesting media. 11 hours a day. Noise, noise, noise. I think Kenny Chesney was right. You know, today marks our 14th sermon in our sermon series entitled The Spiritual Disciplines. We have been studying for a long time this idea of spiritual disciplines, and we're making some headway now. We've talked about the importance of injecting God's word into our life. We spent several weeks on the importance of prayer. We've talked about personal evangelism and how important that is. We've spent a couple of weeks on serving other people. And then we just came off of a three-week time period talking about the importance of confessing sin. Well, today we're going to move and we're going to talk specifically about the spiritual discipline of silence and solitude. Silence and solitude. What is it? How do we describe it? Seems pretty clear what it is on the surface, but how is that a spiritual discipline? Silence and solitude. One of my favorite books on the spiritual disciplines was written by Donald Whitney, and I've quoted him several times, and I've read the whole book, and I continue to read it as we go through this sermon series, but I think he has done a masterful job of explaining what silence and solitude is. Here's what he said about the spiritual discipline of silence. He said, "The discipline of silence is the voluntary and temporary abstention from speaking so that certain spiritual goals might be sought. Sometimes silence is observed in order to read, to write, to pray, etc. Though there is no outward speaking, there are inward dialogues with self and God. This can be called outward silence." In other words, what he's saying here is that sometimes we stop talking. We get in a quiet place so that we can engage with God in a quiet reflection, back and forth type of dialogue with God. But then he goes on to say, other times, silence is maintained not only outwardly, but also inwardly, so that God's voice might be heard more clearly. In other words, not even praying. Just being silent. Being silent and listening for God. When's the last time you were totally and completely silent before the Lord? Not praying, not talking, but just silent, listening for the voice of God. The discipline of solitude, Donald Whitney said, is this. Solitude is the spiritual discipline of voluntarily and temporarily withdrawing to privacy for spiritual purposes. The period of solitude may only last a few minutes or for a few days. As with silence, solitude may be brought in order to participate without interruption in the other spiritual disciplines. So just to be alone with God. In other words, sometimes we get alone so that we can pray. Sometimes we get alone so that we can read God's word. Sometimes we get alone so that we can fast. Sometimes we get alone so that we can just seek that voice and that relationship with God, completely undistracted by all the pressures of the world. Silence and solitudes are usually found together. I read another quote by author Jen Fleming, and she said this back in the 90s. She said, "We live in a noisy, busy world. Silence and solitude are not 20th century words. They fit in the era of Victorian lace, high button shoes, and kerosene lamps, better than our age of television, video arcades, and joggers wired to earphones. We have become a people with an aversion to quiet and an uneasiness of being alone." That was written in the 90s. And I would say 2 decades later, it's gotten worse, right? We don't have wired headphones anymore. We have wireless headphones. We don't go to video arcades because we've got them in our pocket 24 hours a day, right? The problem that she wrote about and addressed has gotten far worse. There is so much things that we do in our life that we just don't want to engage in silence. There's too many opportunities for us to feast on noise and on distractions, and we fall into that, oftentimes hook, line, and sinker. But even I would say from a technological perspective, there's even another dynamic that is waging war on our ability to be silent and still before the Lord. And that is, I would say that culturally, America says that silence and solitude, culturally speaking, is a bad thing. Because when we're not doing something, we're not being productive, right? We've got to be doing, we've got to be moving, we've got to be doing things because that's what productive Americans do. We don't sit quietly. Heaven forbid we take a half a day and sit in quiet and do nothing before the Lord. We have to always be building and going and moving faster and faster and faster and harder and harder and harder. And life pushes us to these points where we're so incredibly busy. America also has created a culture that prioritizes our relationships with one another at a higher priority than our relationship with God. In other words, this idea that I'm going to take some time and be alone with my Heavenly Father, we think that being together would far trump that. It's far more important for us to be together than it is for us to spend time alone with God. Culture says that. And then I would tell you something else, is that I think oftentimes we use busyness to hide our own sinfulness. We use busyness to hide our own sinfulness. When we get still before the Lord, sometimes the problems that are in our life bubble to the surface. And if we just stay busy, if we keep moving, if we don't slow down, if we keep running, if we stay away from engaging in God's word, we can avoid the own sinfulness that's in our life. And so the culture says, just stay busy, keep running. But the Bible teaches us and shows us and models for us that silence and solitude is critically important. It's so important if we're going to go deeper in our relationship with God and Jesus. We can't miss this. We can't void this in our life. If we void this practice in our life, we'll miss building this relationship. So it's very, very important that we cultivate this idea of silence and solitude in our life. You remember the story of Elijah, right? Derek read out of 2 Samuel, and that's just all couched in there is the story of what's happening. Or actually, that's in 1 Kings, but it all stems out of that. Go into 1 Kings, and we encounter the story of Elijah. And you remember the story of Elijah? He shows up on the scene, right? And Israel has fallen into worshiping Baal, the false gods, and God tells Elijah, you got to go do something about this. So he goes and he speaks to the nation, and Elijah comes up with this plan based on the idea of God and says, listen, it's time for a showdown. So he gathers all the prophets of Baal, and here's Elijah all by himself. And he says, look, you call on your false gods to burn up this altar, and then I'll call on my God to burn up this altar, and we'll see which God is real. Remember the story? I call it the great showdown in the Bible. I love it. And so the story comes, and these Baal people, they build this big altar, and they start calling on Baal, burn this up, do something, God. They start cutting themselves. They start doing everything they possibly could to move the hand of their false god, Baal, to burn up this pile. And Elijah's just sitting back watching. Nothing happens. So then Elijah walks up,
after he pours water all over it, prays a simple prayer, and God blew the whole thing up. Beautiful story. And at the end of that, Elijah slaughters all the prophets of Baal. But what happens after that story is amazing to me, because Elijah got afraid. Elijah got afraid because Jezebel said, hey, I'm going to do to you what you did to those prophets. And so Elijah runs, and he runs into the desert, and he sits down underneath a broom tree, and he begins to pour his heart out to God, and he is torn apart, and he is broken apart, and he had reached a place in his life where he was beat up. He had reached a place in his life where he was burned out. He reached a place where he was exhausted, depressed. He was disillusioned. He was hopeless. He was helpless. He was hurt. He was lonely. He was alone, and he felt like the entire world was against him. And to a degree, it kind of was. And so Elijah prayed to God. He said, God, just take my life. I'm done. I feel worthless. Just take my life. He'd just come off of this amazing spiritual victory. And here we go, fast forward just a little bit in time, and he's pleading to God for God to kill him because he just felt so burnt out and disillusioned and lost. It's an incredible story. You see, Elijah reached a moment in his life where he desperately needed the love of God. He reached a point where he desperately needed some direction from God. He reached a place where he definitely needed a word from God. Let me ask you, have you ever felt that way in life? Have you ever reached a point in your life where you have felt beat up, where you have felt burnt out, where you have felt exhausted and depressed and disillusioned and hopeless and helpless and hurt and lonely and alone? Have you ever reached a place in your life where it feels like the entire world is against you and you desperately need to hear from God? You desperately need to feel God's love. You desperately need some direction from God. Have you ever reached that point in your life? Are you there today? I look in the eyes of our church, and I know, some of you have shared your story with me. I know you're looking in my eyes, and you know that I've reached to those points as well. In our Christian walk, we oftentimes reach those points where we feel like Elijah, helpless, exhausted, burnt up, done, where we just want to say, God, take my life. I'm unworthy. Well, you know what? Elijah did reach that point, but he didn't stay there. You know how he got out of that time? You know how he pulled himself out of that? The great prophet Elijah. He did it through silence and solitude with the Lord. It's an amazing story. Let me tell you what we're going to do today. We're going to take some time and do that. We're going to take some time and engage in the discipline of silence and solitude, although I know we can't completely be solitude. We can't exactly get apart from one another, but we're going to do our best to engage in this practice. I told you last week that you would either love the message today or you would hate the message today, but hopefully you'll never forget the message today. That's my intent. Is to give you a taste of something maybe that you will never, ever forget. For 17 minutes, I've worked so hard on what we're about to do. It took me forever. You're going to think, well, that took forever. It did. It took forever to put together. But it's 17 minutes long. We're going to engage in the discipline of silence, and we're going to pretend as though we're engaging in the discipline of solitude. There will be no audible words at all. Now, studies say that groups about this size can only endure 15 minutes of pure silence. We're going to break the record, and we're going to go for 17 minutes of silence. And I know that for some of you, this is going to be really hard on you. I tend to be that way too. Although I'm learning, the older I get, how important silence is in a life. You can ask Becky. I just said yesterday, I said, I got to get out. I got to go. I got to go ride my bike for a little while. Get some silence. So I got some silence, and then I put my headphones in and rode my bike even more. But the importance of silence in our life. But I know that this will drive you crazy, but just know it's only 17 minutes. And hopefully you'll remember this sermon forever. So here's how this is going to take place. We're going to have a guided time of silence. So on this center screen, there will be things happening on the screen. No words. No sound,
just things happening on the screen. It will guide you every step of the way. We will take moments where the screen will go black and will be completely quiet for small periods of time. There'll be a chime. Tech team, just remember you need to have the soundboard on and don't have the keyboard muted, because there will be chimes that will guide you a little bit through this. But you don't have to stress out. This is why I don't want you taking notes. I just want you watching the screen and following and doing what instructs you to do. I'm asking for the next 17 minutes that you be as still as you possibly can. Live streamers, there's nothing wrong with your sound, right? God does work miracles. I can not speak sometimes, so you're going to see it go quiet. That's okay. Just hang in there. Hang in there and watch. You'll have the same video playing on the screen as we're going to be encountering here, but we're going to enter into a time of 17 minutes of complete silence. So I would tell you, if you have your cell phone, mute it, because it's going to scream loud if it rings during this sermon. Mute it or turn it off. If you need to go to the bathroom, then I would encourage you to get up and go now so that we don't clang the doors around. If you need to move around, this is really going to be interesting. We're going to see how this goes down. But if you need to move around, now's your time to move. If you can't see the center screen, move a little bit. We can do this. I know this is uncomfortable, but we can do this. For 17 minutes, we can sit as quietly as possible. Let me also say, it's obvious that when we're in a room of maybe 300 people today, that people will sneeze and people will cough and people will clear their throats, and we can't help that, right? I just cleared my throat. So it's going to happen. But our job is to be as focused as we possibly can, to drown out as many distractions as we possibly can during these 17 minutes. So if you can, just focus on the screen and focus on God. Don't worry about what's going on around you. As much as you can, just drown out all of the distractions. So in just a moment, I'm going to pray. And while I pray, the tech team is going to kill all the lights. It's going to be dark in here, so that we can focus on the screen and focus on the Lord. Follow the screen's prompts, and it will lead you and direct you. And I pray that the scripture that you will encounter, that the Holy Spirit's presence that you will encounter, will do a work inside of you as we take 17 minutes and experience silence and solitude as brothers and sisters in Christ. If you're a visitor, come back next week, because this is not normal. This is not normal. So I pray that you have a wonderful experience. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father God, Lord, we just give this time to you right now. And I pray, God, that you will use this as an opportunity to refresh us. That you will use this, God, as an opportunity, Lord, to speak to us. That you will use this, God, as an opportunity for us to worship you. We oftentimes don't think about worshiping you in the silence. But God, your word tells us to worship you in the silence. So God, we give you this service. Do a work in the next 17 minutes during the silence, God. We love you, Father. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.